Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:05 this morning. And our phone lines here are 605-4567. And we're also streaming at KCNR1460.com. Also, I think we got chat going on, too. So, anyway, hey, good morning, Bad Bob.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, my eyes are going, and I can't see the time up there. So, but I think it's 7, I think it's like 7:06 or something like that. And, but speaking of good, here she is. How you doing?
Well, there? I do have my glasses on this morning. Good morning, 46 degrees. Today is 65, the high with mostly sunny. There's a slight chance of rain tonight that is going to be around 44 degrees. So as you're tuning in and you turn on KCNR and you're listening to the weather, it is the bundle up time of year. Of course, it's 7:06 in the morning, and we know as the day proceeds. Yesterday we were at the Benton Dog Park. We went around, I guess about 3 o'clock. Had gone the day before and just had that yummy, warm fall weather. And then yesterday, took a moment to take Snooki up there and could feel, just really feel the temperature dropping and having the air with just a cooler feel. And I looked at Carl and I said, well, okay, we now feel the change is happening. So this weekend, get ready for very cool weather. It's going to be 52 and then Saturday 47. So
with rain.
With rain. Yeah. So you want to be ready for that. Yesterday, can I share this really fast about tobacco and brew?
You can, and we can do it even later in the show also.
Okay, I want to start the morning off with this because this is very heartwarming. We are doing, of course, Saturday is a very filled day, Friday night, Saturday filled day, but Saturday's Christmas for the troops, which will be held down at Facero Hall in Anderson beginning at 4:30. And we've had Charlie Thompson on before and some of the gang that has said, we need stuff. Well, Tobacco and Brew, being the generous, generous community members that they are, and they support the veterans so well in so many ways. Carl and I went there yesterday, and she had over 500 bags, individual bags of goodies that she and the girls put together to put into the boxes that will be sent to the troops. Hats off to Tobacco and Brew. Thank you so much for your kind generation, or your kind donation. Also want to thank on that very same afternoon the Arellanos for all those boxes of Girl Scout cookies.
Well, that was from a family honoring our troops.
Yes, from family.
But you're right, the Arellanos brought them in.
And so the donations, they still need things. I think they need from yesterday, what we heard is they need hygiene products. And so anyway, Carl and I will be down there in Anderson to open the ceremonies at 4:30 and hope to see you down there with the A-team, $12 for adults. As a matter of fact, if you call right now, 605-4567, we've got two more tickets. That's 605-4567. We're going to give two tickets away for packaging with the troops, and you can sit at the KCNR table. It would be our honor to have you join us.
Okay, what we're going to also be, what they need too is, and we're going to be talking about this throughout the week, but you know, you can go down and you can get those hand sanitizers, the small foot powders, the anything that has to do, you know, the toothpaste, all those kind of things.
Oh, they have enough toothpaste.
Okay, they've got enough toothpaste and no more Top Ramen. They've got enough of that. Jerky, all those little snacks that you would like to, you know, you'd like to send, you would send to your kids. Or dad when you're over there, when they're deployed. Just things like that. And you can call, you can get tickets at Audio Addictions or Classic Cafe on Athens Avenue. Audio Addictions is on Hilltop. We're going to talk about this a lot. Or you can call 223-6952 or just check out our website. Oh,
And today, coming up at 8 o'clock, we've got Sheriff Tom Basenko. I'm sure many of you have, I've already got emails coming in to ask the sheriff some questions. But before that, we've got a couple of the gals on to talk about Christmas Tree Fantasy. And then we have another special guest coming on today.
Kim Brown.
Yep, to talk about police work.
Now, you know, and when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about what happened at the city council last night. It looks like we're closing. Looks like right now we're closing the fire station up on Placer. We want to talk about some of the things that are going on that can affect us. You know, it may be a little bit further down the road, but it in the sense that it's happening in Washington, D.C., but it's affecting us right now, and it could have a huge, huge impact on our medical care right here in River City. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Bot. It is 7:14 in the morning. We're working to 7:15. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567, and we're out streaming at KCNR 1460. You can chat with us, too. We're already getting emails for Sheriff Pasenko when he comes rolling in.
Today, mostly sunny with a high. Let me put my glasses on.
A high of 65, darling. A high of 65.
Everybody's going to laugh at that one. It's going to be high today at 65. It's currently 47 degrees. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. You are listening to KCNR 1460. And
are you sure? Can you read that?
I know that one by heart.
Okay.
And I'm really excited right now because there is a special event that is happening in town this Saturday evening, which Carl and I are going to attend. That's right after Christmas with the troops. And it is my good friend Pam Hill is here this morning and Marlene Woodard. Share with our listeners what's going on.
Good morning. This is the annual event that Mercy Hospital Guild, which is the volunteers, put on every year. It's our largest fundraiser for the hospital. It is an evening gala that is on Saturday evening at the Holiday Inn, and this year's proceeds are going to benefit our outpatient chemotherapy department. We have, unfortunately, our outpatient chemo department has grown in need, and we have had the need to move to a bigger space in the hospital, and there are many needs to fulfill that area. So this year we decided to get the wish list from outpatient chemo, and all of the proceeds are going to go to that. We have a silent auction, a live auction, and a dinner. And one of the things that Christmas Tree Fantasy is known for during our live auction is we have Christmas trees that are donated. They are artificial. Most of them are pre-lit. They are along a lot of themes. And this year, our Christmas trees are going to be paired with phenomenal gifts, such as a helicopter ride, a cabin stay in Dunsmuir, and a Weber barbecue. Tickets are still available, $75 per person. Today would be the deadline, and the event is at 6 p.m. on a Sunday. And I'd like to turn it
Saturday.
I'm sorry. We'll get to Sunday in a minute. But I'm going to turn it over to Marlene Woodard, who is from A Planned Affair, and she has been wonderful in helping us get our fabulous theme pulled together this year. We're honoring Dr. Seuss's Mr. Grinch since it's the 50th anniversary, and it's Who's Who in Whosville. So, Marlene, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, I think it's going to be a really fun event. We have the Reading Riverside Chorus, who's a barbershop. Actually, it's going to be an octet. They call it a double quartet, performing during the cocktail hour with the past champagne. And we have a signature drink called the Grinch, which will be with Midori and Sugar Rim, very green. And we have Jimmy Bryan Entertainment Services. It'll provide all the music and, of course, dancing afterwards. And it's just a great mixer. It just seems like everyone stands until they're forced to be seated to eat dinner.
Okay, so the event begins at what time?
6 p.m. on Saturday.
Okay, and then tell us again where we can buy. I understand you have sold quite a few tickets, but you have some available. A great Saturday night that's going for the outpatient chemo unit, and we need to know where we can get tickets.
You can call Marlene at
351-1149.
Okay, so that's we're going to put that number down for any of you that are looking to have a spectacular, glamorous evening, fun, Who's Who in Whoville for the Mercy Guild. Mm-hmm. And the proceeds, I love that it's 100% of the proceeds. Mm-hmm. All of you donate so much time. And Marlene, you've come in with A Planned Affair, and I'm getting a little bit of tidbits here. I'm not even going to say what it is, but the evening is going to be decorated spectacularly. And Karen, of course, has done the costumes. And I want to share with you that at 2 o'clock on Saturday, 2 p.m., I'm sure you're going to be Christmas shopping. And while you're doing that, catch my show On the Spot with Linda Bott in front of Macy's, and the Grinch and Cindy Lou will be making a special appearance. And that's just a little snippet of what you're going to be seeing Saturday night. And where is the event being held?
Holiday Inn. They are so wonderful to work with us, and we just love going there every year.
All right.
Okay. And may I put in a little plug also for Sunday, which is the second day of Christmas Tree Fantasies event. Once again, this is the 23rd year that we've been doing this, and it's called the Teddy Bear Family Festival. And what it is, it's the way for the Guild to give back to the community, especially the children, and it's a free event from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and I encourage everybody to bring their children, their grandchildren, their nieces, their nephews, their neighbors. It's a family event. It's free, and we have entertainment, Kids Unlimited, Master Kim, the Shasta Skippers. We will have pictures with Santa. We'll also have pictures with Mr. Grinch. He'll be making a special appearance that day. Free refreshments. We have cookies that are donated by guild members. We have punch. We have coffee. We have face painting, a fishing booth, a cakewalk, and it's just entertainment galore for the kids. Balloon animals. People are going to be around doing balloon animals. We're going to have a wandering mime. Just a whole bunch of activities for all of the kids in the community, and it is a free event.
Also at the Holiday Inn?
Also at the Holiday Inn.
And don't forget what my granddaughter's favorite thing is, walking out with a stuffed animal.
Ah, that's right. Every child leaves with their choice of a stuffed animal.
Wow, that just sounds like a great way to kick off embracing the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a season to share with others and to give. What I like, and that's why I was doing my little checklist here, was the idea of perhaps in a live auction, bidding on a live tree paired up with something, so you know that your money is going to be going to 100% of that money is going towards the outpatient chemo.
Mm-hmm.
So we like that. We like the idea of, you know, sometimes you get stuff and it's not so bad to re-gift stuff that's been like brand new, but you're also giving to donate for a wonderful cause. Thank
Absolutely.
You, ladies, for being with us.
Thank
again.
You.
We're talking Teddy Bear on Sunday, Christmas Tree Fantasy on Saturday.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:24 and 43 seconds, November 17th. Okay, last night at the city council, we talked about it before we went in there. I don't think it was going to be much of a secret. They're going to close a West Side fire station because of the budget crisis. The one up on close, they voted 3-2 Tuesday to close Station 2 on Placer Street and Bonaventura Boulevard. On January 1st, after hearing more than a dozen speakers talking to some of the people involved, of course, there's a budget crisis. There's also the fact that the firemen's union is coming up for a raise this time. They offered to give that up if they would push their contract out another year. This is the same thing that we've heard with the police and the firemen. One time did get a 2-year extension for concessions. And it appears at this time, and there's no secret about it. I mean, the city council and the people who were running for office made it real clear, we're not going to do that. We need to solve the problems now. We can't just keep kicking it down the road, and we need to get it solved. Now, there was a great deal of harsh feelings, as everybody knows, leading up to the past election. And it looks like it looks like there's no give right now on either side, which I find extremely interesting. Here's the thing, is that I don't understand everything about the negotiations. I don't believe anybody out there understands everything about these negotiations unless you're intimately involved with them. The firefighters say, we'll give this up, we'll pay part of our health care, but we want you to extend our contracts out. I guess I don't understand the extension of the contracts. You know, it's the same city council. You know, if you extend the contracts out, does that mean? I mean, you can still negotiate, but you can't negotiate if you got the contracts in place. Is that true? I need somebody, you know, can come in and tell me that. But then, if we are in the middle of a financial crisis, which we appear to be in, since everybody and their brother can read it in any spot, that we're losing millions of dollars a year, our revenues are down considerably, that our property taxes are down considerably, so you don't get money coming in that way, and the sales taxes are down. So if we're bleeding out this money, not as much as we were, say, a quarter ago, but still bleeding out money, the money's got to come from someplace. Now, we're getting ready to lay off 10 firefighters. Well, 9 of those have either retired or one left early, and I think there's a fire marshal now that's going to be let go. The bottom line is that come January 1st, there's going to be less firemen, less protection, and, you know, especially out on the west side. Now, the way they chose that fire station from the fire chief was, is they looked at the number of calls in the area. It was the third lowest in the calls, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we all know that probably 80 to 90% of all the calls are medical calls, and they aren't structure fires. However, structure fires, if it's over 5 minutes, the insurance companies don't like that if you're over 5 minutes away from a firehouse. Also, with the way that new construction is of homes, that it gets trends a tendency to burn faster, quicker, which doesn't make you feel any better if you're out there on the west side. Now, is there a way that we can get the unions and the council to come together on something? Okay, we're going to go to we've only got like a minute left. We'll go to Bob. Hey, Bob, you got a comment?
As a quick one, and yeah. I don't get to listen all the time. You know, but have the politicians taken a pay cut?
You know what? The politicians that we have here, you know, for the city council, I think they get a grand total of like $600 a month.
Well, and the higher ups, like the state politicians.
Oh, of course not. No, I think.
Are they paying for their own cars yet?
Oh, of course not.
Paying for their gas?
No.
Paying for their retirement?
Nada. I'm not sure if they're paying for the retirement or not. But the rest of the things leading up. But, you know, and we're going to, you know, the thing about it is the state, you know, that is like an 8-week, you know, show to say what the heck's going on there. Hey, we got to take a hard break here. Thanks for the comments, though, Bob.
You're welcome.
You know, but when we come back, we think we're going to have guests here, but we want to talk a little bit more about this, and we're going to have some city council members here in the next 3 or 4 days. We're going to talk about this and the unions, and let's kind of get together and see what's going on. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Lindebot, good morning. 7:34 in the morning. Phone lines here, 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR 1460, and you chatters are just chatting away among each other, aren't you? And I just saw a couple of, you know, tracer rounds go back and forth between. I think, you know, I'm not going to give names, but let me put it this way, you guys. Put on your body armor. Here we go.
KCNR 1460. Go to our chat room now. It's currently 44 degrees. It's going to be high today of 65. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. This Friday night, special trio of jazz and myself. Please come join us 6 to 9. It'll be a lot of fun.
It is going to be fun. We always have a
good
time there.
Being out there. And the portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Yesterday, we had a wonderful moment with Tobacco and Brew.
You know, it's 2143 Hilltop Drive. Let me tell you, Joe and Shelley provided over 500 packages to our troops. You know, Christmas for the Troops is going to be this Saturday. They're still accepting products. And that can be, if you want to put in some dollars, $1, $5, $10, one package costs $12.50 to ship. So if you got, you know, if you want to buy a couple packages, you can do that. You can buy tickets. That does that. You can get your tickets down at Audio Addictions on Hilltop and also Classique Cafe off Athens Avenue. Those are great ladies down there. But, you know, here's Tobacco and Brew really helping out, as they always do, our veterans and our servicemen and our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, great walk-in humidor. Espresso Joe's the best coffee. Tobacco and Brew, Joe and Shelley, you know, you can't say enough about them. And they, you know what? They would never say anything. We just cheer them on and beat our chest for them.
Well, you know, yesterday I just want to share with you all that I was at the mall. I had a meeting because I'm doing my show there on Saturday at 2. And while I was there, you know, talk about calm, cool, and collective, there was a little note that was passed in front of the mall manager, Beth, and she just kind of put her fingers up to her eyes and just continued on. So then we walked out of the mall and to go around in front of Macy's, which was down the hallway, and she goes, yeah, Rabble Bank just got robbed. I was like, what? And I look over there, and there's the SWAT team, and there's the cop cars, and... It made me think, well, I wonder what happened. The guy just come in and, you know, hold him up or what, you know, because it was just that fast.
Well, that's what happened. He comes in, he was a felon who I guess was on parole, had stolen a truck, came in to rob a bank off the freeway. I guess it was an easy exit, easy on, easy off. So he drives into the first bank, hands him a note, says, give me your money. They do. They hit the alarm, and the chase is on. And congratulations to the Reading Police Department. You guys are great. Chased him down the road. They were, you know, a little bumping and running there. He goes across the freeway the opposite way. Goes across, I think, the Cypress Bridge the opposite way. And then they finally cornered him up there on, I believe, Eureka. And brought him down. No casualties, nobody injured. But this is what, you know, this is what they do. And, you know, a lot of times we forget that our police, they may not be injured, but it doesn't mean that the capability or that moment of being hurt isn't always there. It is. And, you know, you need, I believe in the military when you go into combat. And here's where I draw a huge difference. When I go to combat, when I'm going in places, I'm going with other Marines or soldiers or whatever, whatever operational forces or groups I'm with, and we're all ready for one thing. We're ready for combat. We're ready. We're locked and loaded. We're ready to walk into a place. You know, we walk in with our guns out, if that makes sense. A policeman walks up to a car, and it's a very nice-looking, grandmotherly type. It's got a .45 in her lap. You know, this is something. You know, this is something that happens. So, you know, where maybe 90% of the time, nothing happens. Maybe even more. Maybe 99% of the time doesn't happen. But see, you always got to be ready on that. In the military, when we're in there in a combat zone, we figure that 90% of the time something is going to happen, even if it doesn't, so that you're ready that way. So. Again,
this morning we're thanking our law enforcement.
Right, we are, and you know, there's been a lot of things going on, and you know, we've got a lot of things coming up here in the future, and this is something this community, you know, with our firemen, our first responders, is that we've got to be able to work together to get this thing done, and get rid of some of this animosity. And you know, Dick Dickerson yesterday said, hey, let's come up with a committee to figure out how we can get past some of these budget problems and everything, and I think that's a great idea. I think one of the reasons we're talking about this even more is because of our guest today, Lieutenant Kim Brown.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, she is a retired police officer, a lieutenant from Orange County.
Living here.
Living here now. Came up to be with her family. And, you know, it's the fact is that she was a she was
25
a
years.
Yeah, 25 years. The first sergeant and the first lieutenant on their police department.
That's correct. Fountain Valley Police Department. It's a town of about 55,000 people, 40 miles south of L.A. And it's interesting, some of the things that you're talking about. The fact is that you're correct. When officers walk up on a car, first of all, we always have to be ready for the unexpected. You don't know if it's grandma with a 45, that's correct. You don't know if it's the kid who's got a knife by the door. But the thing about it, what struck me in you talking about the robbery yesterday and the fact that nobody got hurt, obviously had some really good decision-making by the Reading Police Department from the fact that nobody got hurt, nobody got injured at the end. But we're asking our officers to make split-second decisions out there. And that's not a real easy thing to do, especially in a high-risk, high-felony situation. So the outcome was good. Doesn't mean it always is perfect. But they do the best job they can do based on the information that they have available.
You know, we've got to take a break. But what you just said is probably the most important takeaway from this, is that split-second decisions made in the heat of an adrenaline rush that you can't believe, and that the decisions made were correct. that nobody was killed, nobody was injured, I don't believe. And the perpetrator, the alleged guy, oh, hell, the guilty guy was caught in the truck.
Yay.
Yeah. You know, what is this perpetrator crap?
Yeah.
You know, they follow him. He gets out in the truck. They chase him down. Oh, the alleged, you know, no. He was in the truck. It was him. All right.
Our guest is Lieutenant Kim Brown.
Okay, we'll take a break now.
And we are going to take a break. Join us after these messages on KCNR 1460.
KCNR 1460, good morning, 7:45 in the morning, it's Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off Airport Road. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. We have Dish Satellite that Doug put in. Works great, in fact. Professional, he's been in the business since 85, except those years he took off jumping out of airplanes with the 82nd Airborne. Give Doug a call at 244-1988, and I promise you, you'll be talking to Ready Knights. You won't be talking to somebody from another hemisphere.
That's Reddingites, not Redding Knights.
Yeah, Ready Knights. Well, they are Ready Knights.
Yeah, you know. 45 degrees currently. If you're just if your feet are just hitting the floor, it's going to be mostly sunny today with a high of 65. Congratulations, Gary. You'll be joining us for Christmas with the troops. Your name will be at the door, and you'll be joining us at the KCNR table.
Yeah, and let's behave yourself, Gary, you know, or at least watch us. So, hey, our guest is Lieutenant, can I say, I can say that, Lieutenant Kim Brown.
Absolutely.
Retired police officer from Orange County, California.
Fountain Valley.
Correct. And she was a guest on Linda's show a couple of weeks ago, and very interesting person. And she and her husband have moved up here to be closer to family, and just talking to her between the breaks, on the breaks, it's a very interesting, you know, concept. I mean, our thoughts we have here, you know, about we have to get both sides together.
It's a very difficult process because law enforcement, firefighting in general is they're very difficult jobs. You know, they're 24/7 positions, 365 days a year. For police work, you get in cars that are used 24 hours a day. You get people that don't always take showers, don't always use a bathroom. They aren't always the kindest to you. And you go from one moment to being out in a residential area.
They don't treat you like Mr. Friendly?
No, and they...
This is not Andy Griffith.
Yeah, they don't always use perfume.
Yeah. Yes.
So you get out in the residential areas, and you might be talking to a child or giving them a little badge to put on, and the next moment you're going to go to a robbery or you're going to go to unknown circumstances, and you have that split-second moment where you have to decide whether or not you're going to take somebody's life. It's not an easy job. It's a very stressful job. And when a lot of folks are sitting around eating Thanksgiving dinner, we have police officers out there working. They're not home with their families. Christmas, I can recall listening to the annual Christmas message at midnight, working graveyard, wondering how my family was, and they were all nice and comfortable in bed. But, you know, we work holidays, weekends, and that's just a part of the job, and that's accepted when you take the job.
Yeah, I was going to say that, and I'm glad you finished up like that, Kim, is that you know that when you walk into it. It's not going to be a 9-to-5 job. If you wanted a 9-to-5 job, the last thing you would do is be, work in a fire department, work in a police department, or go into the military, or many other jobs like that. But those three, you know, are working in the hospital, the swing shifts, or the, you know, ambulances, things, anything that's out there helping people or conducting security or those kind of jobs. But it doesn't mean, though, is that we don't, that everybody has to be at odds ends with people.
No, and you were talking about, we had discussed during the break about how difficult it is right now in this economy and with concessions. And everybody is suffering the budget crunch. It's not just the local county here. It's all counties. It's all agencies. And everybody's been going through the same type of discussions. The problem is coming to a mutual decision of what is best for everybody. And that always is difficult. Negotiations are difficult.
Well, you know, trying to find out what's good for everybody is... Sometimes that ends up working out that it's not good for anybody. Then, you know, I mean, that's really a tough one.
One of the things that I admire about you, Kim, one of the many things, and I thank you again for being on our show, it's about a woman in a man's world, and that was the segment that you did on my Thursday night show. that you, for 25 years, you rose to become a lieutenant, and you have to be, it is kind of that, you know, have to take the extra guff, I suppose, because, you know, you're a woman, and here you have retired after 25 years. Your husband, he also has been in law enforcement for 17 years. What was...
He actually did 29 years. We met. He was 14 years up at Fremont PD, and then we met, got married. He came down to Orange County, and he did 17 years as a crime scene investigator for the Huntington Beach Police Department.
CSI.
That's correct.
And you know, everything you see in the show is absolutely true, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's amazing how quickly they solve crimes.
I know.
So, yes, I'm just, wow, and they knew the suspect right away.
And they get those DNA reports back. I mean... Okay, give me that DNA report. Here it is.
Yes, we have to. Yes. Yeah, we have to find that, how they do that, because I'm not sure how you get DNA results so fast. But it, my husband was kind enough to retire and allow me to finish my career and retire because we have young children. When I retired, my daughter wasn't 4 yet, and my son is 14 now. My daughter is 7, and we're old parents, but we love it. But he was kind enough, yes, to take care of everything at home, so there was less stress for me to get to work, because when we did have childcare, I had all of 13 minutes to hit the freeway, and I had 7-plus miles to go to get in uniform and get in briefing by 7 a.m. in the morning. Very difficult to find childcare. My husband started at 6, I started at 7. Or to find someone who decides that they want to give you childcare when you're working graveyard.
But thank you so much for your service, because I think, I really believe with the work that you do, it's a calling.
It's a unique experience. It's not for everyone. And the fact of the matter is I didn't get into it for a reason, you know, man or woman. You get into it because you feel that you have the aptitude for it and that you'll find interesting and that you can do the job. Typically, women write reports better. Typically, men have the physical aspect down a lot better. It just depends. It's not a job for everybody. But if you look at what the criteria is, certainly if you think that you can succeed in it, I say for anybody, man or woman, go for it.
Our guest is Lieutenant Kim Brown. We are putting a face on law enforcement. We're thanking those who serve, and we'll be back after these messages.
Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott, 7:53 in the morning, 605-4567, or we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. Our guest is Lieutenant Kim Brown, a retired police officer from the Fountain Valley down in Orange County. You're saying, well, how did that happen? But, you know, the thing is that police work is police work. And Kim lives here with her husband and her children.
That's correct.
A 7-year-old and a 14-year-old. But, you know, what we want to talk about right now is that you've got an adopted member of your family?
Yes, we have an adopted senior. Actually, part of my collateral duties as a lieutenant, because we were a small agency, is to have other duties. And I supervised 46 senior volunteers, age 55-plus, some aerospace engineers, some pilots, homemakers, but there was a variety of folks.
And what did they volunteer for?
They volunteered to go out and take signs posted down, garage sale signs, keep the city clean, pick up. They would go and do residence checks, vacation checks. So they would go up and check people's doors while they were gone.
I wonder if we have
that
here.
Do we do that here?
Do we have that here?
We should. We'll ask
Bisenko
next.
We're going to ask Tom.
Even though it's, you know.
What a great idea that is.
Wonderful program. And our dear Helen was one of those folks for many years. She devoted a lot of her life to volunteering. But Helen is a 32-year retired master gunnery sergeant, got involved in the Marine Corps in World War II. And she just said they kept promoting her, so she kept staying. So she retired in 1977. And Helen had a friend that took care of her, and unfortunately she got ill, and there were some differences, and she no longer had anybody to help her, kind of be a right arm. And our relationship just evolved, and I retired and ended up taking care of her. Now she's our adopted family. But she also has a very interesting past. She was part of the Women's Baseball League from 47 to 51, so she's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. The movie A League of Our Own.
Yeah, League of Our Own.
That was her, and she went up and did the red carpet interviews, and she calls Penny Marshall Penny. Her father played with Babe Ruth, and he played with the Yankees from 1919, 1921, and then came out and was in the Pacific Coast League. So she's a major baseball fan.
What a major story this is.
Yes.
I mean, what a great
and
story.
And she's alive.
And she's alive, and she's quite the pistol. And her memory is really good, and she is only disappointed that she has to use a walker, and her body's not quite like it used to be, but she's stronger than a lot of seniors 20 years younger. And she called the DiMaggio brothers. They were good friends with her family, and she never refers to Marilyn Monroe. She's just that blonde floozy. So it's just, and all she wanted to do was marry Joe for the name and for the notoriety. So, and she went to high school with Richard Nixon, so she would greet Richard Nixon when he'd come down to El Toro, and his helicopter would fly in. She's very proud of that. She calls him Dick Nixon. And just a very fascinating person. We've talked, she attended the 32 Olympics. We've talked about Amelia Earhart and when she disappeared. We've talked about Lindbergh, and it's like a living history lesson.
It is.
We both had non-traditional careers, so we both get it. And I'm originally born in North Dakota, and just out of weird possibilities, her father was born there. And so we think we're related sometime in a different life or something.
Well, you must be, because there's only four people that live in North Dakota.
Yes. Well, I left, so there's only three now.
There's only three. You know, you're the first person I think I've ever met that was born in North Dakota.
And I've heard that a lot. Yeah.
I hope somebody notates this woman's life, because that's just amazing. There could be a whole movie or a whole story or a whole book written around. What's her name?
Helen Hannah Campbell. And you can Google her. You'll see her. And she signs autographs about 1 to 3 cards a week from the Women's Baseball League. She's fascinating. She's interesting. We talk every day. I see her right now about every 6 weeks. I go down and check on her, and if there's any issues, we take care of it. She's in assisted living, doing very well, and the folks, of course, knew me before I retired and in uniform, and I have her locally in a facility where everybody knows me, and she knows the community, and kept her in an area that she's lived for the last 40-plus years.
That's great. You know, these are just like, you know, I love finding out things like this. You know, and we're coming here to talk about, you know, about Kim and, you know, just generally in law enforcement. But to hear something like this would be, how great would that be to be able to talk to her for an hour?
Well, and I'll let you know, one of the reasons, too, is that our son years ago in 1995 was born with some birth defects. And it was a very difficult time for my husband and myself. We didn't expect it. And what happened was we had a lot of folks that helped us and supported us when we needed the support, because it was a hard time. He's had so many surgeries, it's I've lost count. But folks helped us, and you don't get through hard times without help from others. And with Helen, that's the same thing. It's our turn to give back and our turn to help someone else. And she's a member of our family. I promised her I would take care of her until whenever the end is. And that's the way it will be. My family adores her, and we're just so glad she's a part of it.
Well, you know, that is so great. You know, thank you so much. You know, what a great way to cap this.
My heart feels full.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kim Brown. And thanks, you know, you're a member of our community now, and I hope that you all plan on staying here a long time.
Well, thank you so much for having me today and allow to give a few of my opinions.
Well, you know what? You're not the last time you'll be on. Our guest for the next hour, starting at about 8:06, is going to be Sheriff Tom Basenko, and he's in our offices right now, having a cup of coffee and getting ready.
Pacing. So, he's pacing outside the studio.
You know what? We've got about a minute left here before we catch into that.
Thank you, Lieutenant Kim Brown.
Yes,
thank you so very much for having me.
You bet. Tomorrow we're going to talk about what's going on here with this TRICARE and the Medicare problems we're having. I know, great article in the paper today that we've been talking about for literally over, you know, for a couple of years, is the cut in the payments going on Medicare and Medi-Cal to our doctors, and what a severe, severe impact that's going to have on us. We're going to be discussing that tomorrow with Dr. Doug McConnell. He is our guest tomorrow. Join us after these messages. Sheriff Tom Basenko, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio.
This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Our radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 8:06 on November the 17th. Phone lines here are 605-4567, or we're streaming at KCNR 1460 and chatting. The thing about a chat room is you throw out a subject and then it changes 8 times and people are whacking on each other. But of course, I'm joined by Bad Bob, who's always ready.
And good morning.
And my beautiful wife, Linda.
Well, good morning, and currently it's 49 degrees. Today's Suez Canal Day, November 17th. Over the years, a lot of squabbling has gone on over the 100-mile ditch called the Suez Canal, formerly opened on this day in 1869. The canal connects the Mediterranean and Red Seas, eliminating a 4,000-mile trip around Africa.
Well, that's a little bit of a save in gas.
That
and
is
everything.
A little bit
yeah.
of a save.
You know, you come up with these things you come up with these every day.
Well,
you
know, those
you don't
for
always
the
say it. You don't always say it, but you come up with something every day.
Oh, there's so many things that happen on this day in history, but we're making history right here. On this lovely day in 2010. Can you believe that just how many more days left? I don't even know. I'm sure there's a countdown about how many days are left towards the end of the year.
Well,
but when you hear, it's ominous when you think about it. It's overwhelming.
Well, it's less than a month, and we will have been on the air 1 year. We'll
December
have our
15th,
one year,
our baby.
One-year anniversary.
And the man sitting in our room today called us on our opening day and congratulated us.
Sheriff Tom DeSanko. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Carl and Linda and Bob. Great
Sheriff?
To be here.
You, Sheriff, are all dressed up in a splendid-looking suit.
A little bit out of the norm because usually I'm a uniform guy.
Yeah, that's why. You got big meetings today? Or?
I do. We have a meeting a little bit later on with some of our state legislators to talk about public safety funding, the vehicle license fee, and its impact that it could have if it sunsets in June, which just for Shasta County... sheriff's office, it could be about a $1.5 million deficit.
Let's talk about this.
A lot of zeros, and other agencies statewide would be impacted just as bad.
Okay, now let's talk about this. We've got a few minutes here before the break. This is from the DMV or it's the vehicle
license fee. Or right. We just shorten it up for VLF.
Right.
And a lot of our funding for grants. Public safety for the rural crime prevention for 37 rural counties, booking fees have been paid out of to the counties by the state's general fund. A few years ago, it moved to vehicle license fee for a little bit more stable funding, but there was a sunset, which is June of 2011, and if that sunsets, there's huge amounts of money that will go away from the counties and cities, and which right now in this economic market would end up being loss of jobs and loss of public service and public safety.
And that was the raise in our vehicle licensing fees a few years ago. Was it that, or we're talking about a different?
It's a little bit different, but it's part of your vehicle license fees go to that right. Millions of dollars of funding statewide.
Okay.
So it's something we're already paying right now. You don't even notice it in your current vehicle license fee.
The loss of another $1 million from Shasta County.
Oh.
I mean.
Be devastating. It would end up being a million two is roughly equivalent to 15 jobs.
Is that earmarked specifically for law enforcement, or is that just
yes.
in the general fund?
It funds our, it doesn't go into the general fund. It's for specifically comes to the Sheriff's Office for Public Safety funding. One is our sexual assault felony enforcement safe grant. Another one is our rural county sheriff's funding, which is about $420,000 that comes from the state. Then we have our CalMet, which is our California multi-jurisdictional methamphetamine task force that it funds for about $400,000-ish. That would be impacted. It would basically go away, and there's 41 CalMet units throughout the state that would be impacted. And so we all know that there's a drug issue, illegal drug problem here in the county, and this is a task force for high-end drug dealers and traffickers, and they've done some great work over the years.
Not just our local little backyard growers. This is not what we're talking about.
Oh, no.
Here.
These are the drug traffickers, the drug sales, major ones, and that's why it's a multi-county one, because criminals don't know jurisdictional boundaries.
Yeah. Okay, we got to take a break. This could be a huge impact on us. Like, we don't have enough coming down on us.
It seems
right
like
now,
it's always bad news.
But to lose, well, you know, we're going to come back with some.
We're taking emails. I've got something positive to tell you that somebody just wrote in here. This is Carl and Linda Bodier and KCNR 1460.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, 8:14 in the morning.
I want to talk to you about some of the events that are happening this weekend. We've got just a really wonderful stacked. You know, it's the holiday season. So Friday night we'll be out at Anselmo's with Bruce Kalin and Johnny Gonzalez and Dan Kinkle. It's my favorite jazz trio. And if you're looking to give something really special for a holiday gift certificate, you know, do a wine tasting, a wonderful gift shop out there, and come and hang out and have a fabulous night of music and dinner at Anselmo's Friday night. Saturday is packaging for the troops, Facero Hall. We have a KCNR table. Right now I just got an email that Charlie Thompson, who is heading up this event, they need boxes. Boxes to organize boxes.
Yeah, we need, like, they need big boxes to be able to put the gifts in so people can pull the gifts out and put them into the small boxes.
And you can drop those off at the National Guard Armory, which is right there. I don't know the name.
It's off of Placer Street.
Across from the street that the 7-Eleven is on. What's that called? Placer. Anyway, so there. I'm sure you know where it is, but there.
And Charlie has been working on this project all year round to make it have a great Christmas for the troops.
And there's been a lot of people helping with this too. I tell you what, you know, the A team, of course, Shasta County Veterans,
so many volunteers.
Yeah, the
Straight Ahead
Rob
Big Burles Band
and the you know, the Northern California Veterans Heritage Museum. Tickets are $12. You can get your tickets at Audio Addictions or on Hilltop Drive or Classy Cafe. And you know, one other thing here too is that, you know, RABA is doing a is collecting money this month to be able to give or provide bus passes to our veterans for the rest of the year. And you can give to do this by stopping off at Rabobank. And they're here in I'm laughing because Rabobank got hit yesterday, but they caught the guy. You know, they didn't lose anything. Rabobank here or Anderson, you can call 378-2280 and pay via credit card or debit card that way. You know, you can go to Rob a Ride. But these are all things that are happening, for one, for our veterans, but two, to get things out to our troops this winter for the holiday season.
I'd like to note an email that came in here on KCNR1460.com that was directed towards you, Tom, in a happy way. It was about that missing teenager and how involved you got in and are involved in this case. You know, it's amazing what happens network with Facebook, because I was hearing some people thought it was, oh, what's the really missing person, whatever. Facebook, we were getting messages that I know this person's mother, I know this person's sister, this is true, I know this person. So, anyway, this is a shout-out to you. Thank you from Barbara, who said she's sorry that she bothered you, but it's somebody who's involved in her Make-A-Wish Foundation, and she thanks you so much for your involvement.
That's correct. Barbara is one of my Facebook friends and a dear friend, and she got a hold of me personally. I called her back and basically gave her a rundown of what we're doing. Our staff has been working very, very hard and diligently on this case right from the get-go. And over the Veterans Day holiday, my detectives were continuing to work and give me some updates. And then right through the weekend, still following up and giving me some updates. And then, of course, yesterday you probably saw in the paper we did a news release, press release, that we have a $100,000 warrant for Mr. Charles Berlinghoff and for child concealment.
What's the latest on this, Sheriff?
Right now there are nationwide bulletins for law enforcement from Canada to Mexico, from California to Florida. We are following up with people coast to coast and border to border as well. There's also an alert on the Polly Klaus Foundation and also the Endangered Missing Advisory, which is also a nationwide alert as well. And so law enforcement nationwide knows about this case. We're following up with friends and relatives and any leads that we get.
Well, this is something I hope that we that it doesn't look like it was she was taken specifically, you know, to
this
harm
her
like
supposedly
others.
Her
I
uncle,
hope.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there was not an abduction nor a kidnapping.
Okay.
But
concealment.
Concealment and the information that we have, the person left, the young lady, Jean, left willingly with her uncle.
Okay.
And we pray for a safe return, and we want to get this case solved as soon as possible. And so we can get her back with her family.
Well, that's the way we understood it, too. But still, that family must be going through hell right now.
They are. I've met with both the mother and father personally, and my staff have a liaison to interact with them and keep them advised of what's going on. But thanks to the people here in Shasta County, a lot of Facebook shout-outs, if you will, where I've seen the flyers posted time and time again. So I know it's getting to thousands of people over Facebook with their interaction there, and just to help us out and maybe get that one lead that'll solve the case.
Isn't that something, a social media network?
Yeah,
that,
it's
that,
amazing.
That has, you know, you could reach millions on in just a matter of, right. you know, literally minutes.
Right.
Hey, thank you so much for your involvement. Now, at the break, you know, shift gears a little bit and talk about budget. It just is, again, it's like this wave of overwhelming, not to be negative, but just really the crises that yeah. our state is in. And you're smack in the middle of it because of the fact that, you know, you are the sheriff of this region. So what we're trying to do here is talk about the reality, but how do we keep our sanity within the reality and still keep that moving forward, shop local, stay local, support our businesses. Weigh in on that, Tom.
It's a epidemic that's statewide and nationwide, and it can change literally minute to minute at my office. If we get news of funding might be cut, and so then we have to look immediately to personnel, what's going on in our programs, kind of weigh and see how it develops. I work very closely with the California State Sheriff's Association. In fact, that's where I'm headed next, and that's how it does a lot of lobbying for funding for public safety and issues. So it's very important. So it's how to be involved, because a lot of times that helps us here locally. But we got to get something going, be a more business-friendly environment, both locally and statewide, because then if the businesses are growing, people are working, if people are working, the economy is going. And we have to control spending at a state and federal level. We can't spend money we don't have.
Well, you know, that's the thing. We've got to take a break here, but we've got a $6 billion deficit in this year's budget. And
right.
when we kick into next year, adds it up to like $20 billion, or is it $26 billion
at that point? It's about $26 billion for next year combined with this year.
Yeah.
And if the state doesn't do anything, we're going to be looking at $20-plus billion deficits from now and through 2016.
You know, and the fact is that is just the interest on that has
yeah.
got, you know, it's hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah, it is. Okay, we got to take a break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Good morning, Reading. It's currently 47 degrees. You're listening to KCNR 1460 on your dial, Free Fire Radio.
605-4567, or you can just send us chat on KCNR1460.com or send Linda an email. Hey, we want to do a shout out here to Wanda Leach and Wayne Lucklum, owners of Junk and Treasures. Junk and Treasures. I believe it's in Anderson.
That's on 273.
Right, it's a thrift store of Anderson who donated over 400 coats.
Okay.
Yep. Ring the bell. And this is for they donated over 400 coats they collected last year to the Good News Rescue Mission.
Shout out.
Yeah, what a great shout out. You know, Wanda and Wayne,
thanks
you.
Lot.
Thanks a lot for what you're doing.
Yeah, we have a very, very giving and generous community here in Shasta County. And today, also, is Fill the Trucks. Excuse me, I think they have
right,
a food drive at Taylor Motors today.
That's right.
Filling the trucks with food for giveaway for Thanksgiving for needy families.
They're saying that they've got like about 100 turkeys so far, and they said they need like 1,000. So, my friends, here's your chance. Go out and buy a couple of turkeys. I think they're probably out there. No comments about where to find the turkeys. They're probably all over town. None, of course, at KCNR. But you can go out and buy turkeys, take it down today, or food. They take donations of cash, too. Donations of cash.
Well, our guest this morning is Sheriff Tom Basenko, and we've got 30 minutes left in the program after Fox News. We're going to hit in. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff that is hard-hitting, the gangs, different things. But before we go to a break here, let's get into this question, and we will be taking your phone calls as well. Question in the chat room, what is the Southern California policy?
Shasta County.
Policy, what said SD? You know what? We just... Shasta County.
You're Northern California.
I know. Policy regarding illegals who are arrested.
That is a very good question. If they're arrested here locally, they may be prosecuted locally on their crimes here. That's at the decision of the district attorney's office to move forward and prosecute them. If it's a federal crime, then the same thing. The federal authorities may prosecute, which is out of our Eastern District in Sacramento. And then they'll either serve time, and if they're not prosecuted, they're deported. They're just not turned loose back here in Shasta County. We call Immigration Customs Enforcement, ICE/Border Patrol, and they come up on a regular basis and ship them out.
The Forestry Department, National Forest, the people that were up here, the Shasta Trinity, they called them...
U.S. Forest.
They called them
displaced foreign traveler.
That's right, a displaced foreign traveler. You know...
Quack.
Oh, my...
That was in a press release.
Yeah, and that poor girl that released that one was just...
That was,
you know, the amount of abuse I'm sure she took. I mean, that went viral. And
it went nationwide. Yeah. It was on Facebook. It was on emails coming to us. And
Fox News.
Yeah.
Misplaced foreign traveler. Yeah, we've got a few of those. It looks like the amount of... A lot of people are saying, well, we should never go after the marijuana guys. It doesn't make any difference. It's a losing battle. What do you think about that in the next 2 minutes there, Tom?
I disagree with that. And if they could just take a little bit of time to familiarize themselves with the damage that is done to the environment on our public lands, huge amounts, including the poisons and toxins and killing of the wildlife, and then on top of that, that is a illegal substance, still illegal statewide, still illegal federally. And what it's done, it's made to grow and sell. California supplies the nation in marijuana. We removed around 8 million plants statewide this last year, and then that gets distributed nationwide. Where does that money go back to? Organized crime. The drug cartels primarily in Mexico. Mexico's now in a huge, huge gang-related drug war and has been deemed parts of it, Juarez, Mexico, the deadliest place on earth.
Juarez, Mexico.
Just across the border from El Paso.
Right. Yeah.
And then, of course, Tijuana is having a lot of gang violence there.
They were starting to have beheadings down in Tijuana.
Oh.
I mean, what's
beheadings,
going on there?
Yeah. Chopping off arms and legs.
Yeah. People being gunned down on the streets.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of innocent people caught in the crossfire. It is an all-out war down there for gang turf and control of the drug trade to the USA.
Okay, we've got about 30 seconds. When we come back, I want to talk about gangs in this area, talk about what it looks like here in the next month or two and up to the end of the year. I think we're going to have you on again next month.
Mm-hmm.
We really, by the way, really appreciate you coming on monthly to give us an update of everything going
on. It's a great way to interact with the public.
I believe it. Carl and Abbott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Lindebot, 834. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue, D.C. Tim and a man in black. They're in there cutting hair. They do a great job, great prices. If you are a veteran, you will get a discount from that haircut. Man's Last Stronghold right there at Cypress Square Barbershop. You're not going to have your toes or your fingers done, and hair gel is nothing more than butch wax to make those flat tops work. That Cypress Square Barbershop, you know what? It's a good place to have conversation. Mention my name, nothing will happen, no smile. That's it. Okay. Our guest
you
is
mean
Cheryl.
They won't do one ear higher than the other?
Oh, no. Usually what they do is when they finish, I tilt to the right a little bit more than when I walk out. I'm not sure how they do that. Thanks, D.C. You know what? D.C., in fact, I've seen him at a number of veterans ceremonies up at IGO, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And and other things. And you know what? I kid around and I make it humorous about the Cypress Square Barbershop, but they also stand for our veterans. They also are right there for our community every time that I've ever seen it. So, okay, a little serious there, but and if you're Rich Bay, you can still go there. They do charge you more.
Our guest this morning is Sheriff Tomasenko. We're taking your calls. We also know that we have a lot of activity in our chat room, but we'd love to hear from you. If you've got a question for the sheriff, please call 605-4567. That is our hotline. Sheriff, welcome back to the program. Thank you for being here this morning.
Great to be here.
And, you know, something on most of our minds, of course, we love Shasta County, we love being up here, is that we are hearing that there is an influx of gangs. What is going on?
Well, yeah, there is an influx of gangs, and it has occurred even back into the 1990s. There was an influx then. In the city of Reading, there were some problems. There was a pushback from law enforcement and a continued effort since then. And more recently, you've seen some of the shootings and fights and stuff going on. We have about 175 certified gang members. There's a certification for the legal process, not that you go to school to be a certified gang member. But there's a certification for the legal side that if you're a certified gang member and do a crime, then that can be an enhancement.
And
but
so
there's the other tag-alongs.
Okay, so I don't want to interrupt, but that just like when I hear that, I want you to clarify certification. How do you know? I mean, like, okay, you belong to that gang. Is it a symbol? Is it what is it?
Can be a symbol. Could be a tattoo. It comes through the interview process. It's from the association. So there's a lot to it, and the crimes that you're committing with your associates, which that makes a gang more than two people, and so that's and it has to be certified by the court. So you just don't put a stamp in there. We don't issue certificates, so you don't have a certificate suitable for framing on your wall that you're a certified gang member.
Can you chip them?
Chip them? No, not yet. Anyway,
well,
not
okay,
yet.
We'd like to see you be able to chip.
But our efforts, we do have outlaw motorcycle gangs in the area, from the Hells Angels, Mongrels, trying to push in. This is a major turf area, being the I-5 corridor as well.
Is it a drug thing, Tom?
It's drugs, guns, control of turf, yeah.
We see Vagos, we see some Hells Angels. Mm-hmm. It seems like, and I think Hells Angels had a meeting up here or a party here a few weeks ago. In fact, I think a lot of them stayed across the street here at our local halfway house. But is that a big problem? Should people be worried about the outlaw motorcycle gangs?
They can be, because it leads to other crimes. Yeah. Again, most of the outlaw motorcycle gangs are involved with running guns and weapons, prostitution, drugs, stolen vehicles, enforcement that they want for the control of the area. So that's why it's an effort that we have as a partnership of law enforcement. That's why we have the Shasta Anti-Gang Enforcement, that we go out on a regular basis and go out and what I call go out and making new best friends with the gang members, trying to hook them up, arrest them, take them to jail, check them on parole for parole violations, probation violations, other crimes, and in an effort. And that becomes more and more of a challenge right now, because essentially SAGE is a handshake agreement between law enforcement to chip in and go out and check on these individuals. And it's becoming a lot more of a challenge with budget and reductions in our staffing.
Okay, well, we've got to take a break here. Tom, when we come back, I'd like to talk about priorities. One of the things I want to talk about when we get back is priorities of the Sheriff's Department, since funding is so short now. Mm-hmm. And so Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We'll also be talking about some of the remarks in the chat room that have come up, too. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Lindebaugh, 8:43 in the morning. Our guest is Sheriff Tomasenko. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite out on Airport Road, 244-1988. Doug Tooley does a great job with your dish satellite. Give him a call, and he gets it in quick. He's professional. We use him. Never had a problem with it. been in business 15 years, local guy, local business, shop local. That's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite. Again, our guest is Sheriff Tom DeCinco, and we've been talking about Tom's a regular guest now. You know, we're going to try and do once a month. You know, so we do an update of what's going on in our county. Two things I want to get to is priorities that you're looking at since cash is a little tight, and now it's getting to be the holiday season. Probably some people maybe want to do their shopping by breaking into other people's homes.
Tis the season.
Tis the season. Okay, priorities.
Priorities for the sheriff's office is to try and deliver the best possible service that we can to our citizens with the resources that we have. Resources is funding and people. And those can be in short supply with the challenges that we have from state and local. And then, of course, gangs, drugs, and sex offenders. Those are big priorities for me and my staff in our contact and delivering public safety to our citizens.
Sex offenders here. You know, I saw an article in the paper the other day about sex. They made it sound like, you know, we're cornering the market in sex offenders until you read over and realized they were talking nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
But we have our share of sex offenders here in Shasta County. Is that correct?
We do. We have approximately 700 for the whole county. They're almost equal within the city of Redding and for the unincorporated area. So about 350 and 350. 350 in the unincorporated areas, 350 in the incorporated areas of the city. Very small amount, I think less than 10 in the city of Anderson. And then for the region, much bigger.
Do we? Are you pretty confident that, or maybe that's not the right word, do we know where all of them are?
For the most part, yes. They're required to register anytime within 5 days they change their address. In some cases, they're allowed to travel if they're not under parole restrictions or probation. But once they're off of parole or probation, they're required to register. For the most part, they do. We go out and do checks when they come up on their annual renewal time. And then also we have some sweeps that usually we do some stuff right around Halloween, and we work with the U.S. Marshals Office as well on trying to do some sex offender sweeps and making sure that these individuals are in compliance with the law.
Now, there's a place you can go to on a website to look at where sex offenders are living. Is that correct?
Correct. You can check Megan's Law. You can also, in Shasta County for the unincorporated area, there's a program that we have, a software program called Offender Watch. And so you can type in a name, Sammy Sex Offender, find out if he's on that list. And then you can also, as a citizen, you can register on this site. And then if a registered sex offender registers near your address or addresses that you type in, you'll get an email from me that says, hey, here's a picture of Sammy Sex Offender, and he lives within a half mile of you or 2 miles of you. Won't get an address where he lives, but it just gives you an alert. And that gives you the information, power of having the information and knowing what this person looks like, so you can be more aware of your surroundings.
That's important.
That's fabulous.
Well, you know, just as an example, and my daughter, son-in-law, live in New Mexico, in Albuquerque. And they found out that the bus was for the elementary school pickup was in front of a house in their little subdivision. And guess who lived in that house? A registered sex offender, a pedophile. And it was stopping in front of the house, and this guy was sitting out on the porch watching the kids. And when the families found this out, they changed the bus stop real quick. Now that holiday season is coming, people and the way the economy is, plus, you know, as we said, with the drug problems that have that are always with us, and now less sheriffs out in the county, what can people do to protect themselves this year?
Well, number one, lock your car, lock your home, and have very valuable items secured, especially firearms and jewelry. We see those are the big top two that are stolen. When you're out and about shopping at the mall, don't leave all your purchases sitting in the front seat of an unlocked car. Put them in the trunk. If you have an SUV, put them in the back and maybe have them covered up to where they're out of sight, and lock your vehicle. Park your vehicle if you're shopping after dark. Try and park your vehicle in a lighted area, like underneath our parking light in the mall, something like that. And be aware of your walking to your vehicle, what's around. Have your keys ready to get in. Have your home well lit for the outside when you're arriving and stuff. But again, lock it. And part of being aware, know who your neighbors are and know what's going on. Part of that neighborhood watch is a good thing. And that also goes to our citizens volunteers. We have citizen volunteers that do patrols within a number of our communities in Shasta County that act as our eyes and our ears. But main thing is be aware and be cautious.
Well,
let's go to the phones. Roberta, you are, I'm sorry, there's calls coming in. Bob, Roberta, you're on line one.
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Roberta.
I had a question. I was wondering of the sex offenders, was it 350 and 350, if you knew how many or what percentage of these are family members that, you know, molest people in their family and maybe not on the street. I just was wondering how many were in family.
I don't have a percentage breakdown in that aspect, but many of our sex crimes and sex investigations that we have, the offender is often a family member or a family friend.
That's what I thought. You know, I actually would like you to, if I know that's more work, but I would like this to be tracked, you know, because I think it gives a false thing to our community when we think that, well, I don't know, that there are so many out there just looking for people to molest when and children, when a lot of times many of the, I'm not saying it's right, it's horrible, and you know, they should be executed as far as I'm concerned. But I would like to know the number that are family members and friends.
Yeah, it may be a little difficult to dig up, but I'll see what I can do.
Or, you know, in the future if this would be tracking. Yeah, okay. And so you don't have any guess if it's 25, 50%?
I would say it would be more than the majority of them are usually know their victim. Uh-huh.
I think that's national statistics. That
right.
Most child molestations are by people they know.
Well,
if it's not a family, then they're family friends.
Yeah.
Friends.
Well, thanks for calling in, Roberta.
Thank you.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break and come back, Ron, and we'll get to you right after this break. Carl
and
the bottom.
We won't forget Kay.
Back down. No, I won't back.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and the Bot, last segment. Portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. I just want to say is that Tobacco and Brew and Joe and Shelley have donated over 500 gift bags for our troops for Christmas for the troops. Can't say enough about them at Tobacco and Brew and how they support our veterans, how they support our community.
Plus two more boxes of goodies on top of that.
Oh, yeah,
so thank you, Shell.
Yeah, everything. And then, of course, families honoring our troops. Pauline Ariano sent over, 10 cases of cookies for our troops.
I don't care how old you get. It's always nice to receive a little token, appreciation. And Carl said, one day I'd like to have a sheriff's badge. And so Tom at the break took off his little pin that was like a sheriff's pin and gave it to Carl. So it was a wonderful, it was an emotional moment here,
well,
right here at KCNR.
What I said was, I'd like to have a little badge so I could, you know, so I could run around and put sirens on my truck.
Yeah, and
he thought that was not a good idea.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Okay, Ron. Hey, Ron, you're on.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and Ron, watch out. If you see that red F-150 with blue lights all over it.
Yeah. Please call me.
Yeah, yeah, call the sheriff and let him know what I'm doing.
He may have some ice cream in his truck, so anyway. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, for those people who live out in the county areas and I don't know how to use a computer, how would I find out the information of somebody and the picture, I guess it is, for somebody who may be living in my neighborhood when I don't even know the names of the sex offender, something like that, and I can take my answer off the air?
Good question.
That is a good question.
You can, of course, scroll through if you have a computer. Now, if you don't, that makes it a lot more problematic.
Library.
You can go to the library. You can go to some hotspots and have a rent-a-computer, if you will. But you can check through the whole list through, I believe, the Offender Watch. If you register your address, it will tell you the ones that live nearby. I'm not 100% sure of that. And
yeah.
Bob's raising his hand.
Yeah, I think there's another
people
way,
used to be able to come to the SO and check the database there. And that was the only way
Sheriff's
you could
office.
Check it before they that was the only way they could check it before it was allowed out on the internet. Is that no longer available?
Correct. Now that it's available over the internet, you can. They did away with that one program there. So mainly is check through Megan's Law and then search for it, and then you can type in like your zip code, and it gives you the sex offenders that have that are registered for that zip code, like 96001.
Yeah, you can even take it down to a street.
Yeah. So that's
the
way
to know. And they'll give it to you. And I know that doesn't help, Ron, because you don't have a computer, but next time you're in town, if you just go to the library and just go down there and just plug in your street, and they'll be able to tell you that, you know, within a one-mile radius of how many sex offenders are around you. And you know, occasionally, you know, I just to look at those things, just to kind of get an idea.
Good to know.
Yeah.
See, we think, you know, I think many of us believe that when you think of sex offenders, you're thinking your children. You're thinking, you know, my God, my kids are playing on the street. But it's not just for children. It's for adults as well. I mean, we need to be aware.
The old adage, knowledge is power. Absolutely. So you know what's going on in your neighborhood. Kay had a good question earlier. Is why are some of the addresses of sex offenders not listed? Under the law, there are certain levels of sex offenders, and your more serious high-risk offenders have their addresses listed. Your low-level sex offenders with certain crimes are protected and do not have their addresses listed.
I think low-level might be somebody that was caught...
maybe indecent exposure.
Indecent exposure.
Yeah, like flashing.
Well, that and, you know, urinating in public or something like
exactly.
that. As opposed to a felony, you know, rape.
But your serious high-risk offenders have their addresses listed.
Yeah, I was wondering, but that was a good question because I was wondering about that, too. So.
Yeah, another option we have, too, is a lot of people go to the website for the sheriff's office, and then go to the jail. You can see the mug shots and who's in custody.
Which is, so you have to go, okay, because I was looking for that yesterday. So you go to the sheriff's office and then you go jail?
Yeah, and then it'll say, like, in custody.
Okay.
And then you go to that and it shows the people that are currently in custody and what their charges are and visiting days and all that stuff. There's another program we call VINE, which is statewide, which is Victim Information Notification Every Day. And what you can do is it's mainly made for people that are victims of domestic violence, but they can register, and when that person is released, they receive a notification
that they've been released.
Billy Bad Guy has been released, and then they could take precautions knowing that that guy's out.
That's great. You know what? That's huge because people that, you know, you testify against them, and then all of a sudden they get released, you know, 2 years early.
And many of the sheriffs are participating in that. So, like, if a guy is in Los Angeles County Jail, they can register, and if he's released from Los Angeles, they still get that notification all the way up here.
Oh, that's great. Thanks. Hey, Tom, we've got to run. Another hour went by.
Wow. That flies.
Like I said, we want to do this every month. We think it's a great way of getting the word out, people to ask questions, and you to be able to tell things.
I really enjoy coming.
So
and
thank you so
you
much.
Thank you for your public service. You are truly a public servant and put yourself here where people can just ask you questions straight on, and you get great answers, right on answers. Thank you, Tom Asenko.
Yeah. This is our guest tomorrow, Dr. Doug McConnell. We're going to be talking about the problems with the medical care and medical insurance. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.